You're at work radio every day, 9 to 12, only on KC 107.7.
Welkom hier terug saam met my Michelle by KC at work. Dis 10:30 en ek het weer die baie belangrike gas saam met my. Kyk hier vandag, ek sien nou vandag en dan eers weer volgende jaar in 2025. Dis elke keer nou vir my, ek voel eintlik so emosioneel as my gaste so lang tyd saam met my aangekom het en ek moet nou eers vir 'n rukkie groet, maar is daarom weet ek nie vir te lank nie. So baie welkom en hartlike goeiemôre aan Dr. Mariaan Cronje. She's a caregivers counselor who specializes in educating other informal caregivers on how to stay emotionally, spiritually, well before, during and after caregiving. Môre.
Ons is hier, né? Einde amper van 2024.
Kan dit nie glo nie. En het voel of ons nou al 'n baie langer pad saamstap as wat ons doen, né?
Dit is
so. Mes Raaksies familie.
Dit lekker om so te voel, né?
En ek glo die luisteraars daar buite ook. Hulle wag al vir Dr. Mariaan om te kom praat.
So.
Kom ons kop sommer af. My eerste vraagie. Caregiving sounds so noble. Why does the stress of caregiving affect your relationships? Nou, ons gesels nou oor caregiving and relationships over Christmas.
Dis reg.
Dis die topic.
Ja, actually, relationships in general as well with caregiving, but more a bit over Christmas.
Yes.
So, Michelle, you know, in the beginning with everything, when you start something, you might feel quite confident about your ability to care or provide or support for a cherished loved one. You're so excited for all this.
Yeah.
But as the time goes on and their physical and cognitive health continues to worsen, the stress of caregiving can amplify. So you're doing more than helping with calls or taking them to a physician. And caregiving duties can be continuous. From simple tasks, you start with that, and then helping with medication, preparing meals, scheduling medical appointments, and then it advances to more difficult ones, like getting them in and out of chairs in the bed, or the bed, bathing, dealing with all type of diseases. And you may prevent them from wandering around, or other harmful behavior, and so on. And sometimes, regardless of the support you are providing, the grind of the daily or weekly caregiving responsibilities can be so taxing on your well-being. So it's not just the things you're doing for your loved one that can take a toll. It's the time and responsibility that can change the nature of the relationship with your loved one. And then there's other things like the stress that can lead to resentment. And that will include constantly worrying about maybe a spouse's safety and comfort can feel like a weight on your shoulders, because now you are in the environment of a house with your other family. So you don't have that escape from your spouse and from your children, as we discussed last time. So it's only natural to feel some resentment toward other family members who may not be present in the caregiving. Or even, as we spoke last time, towards the person you care for.
Yes.
And then another thing is guilt. Guilt is not good for you. Mm-mm. And guilt can be very, very harmful to your relationships, because sometimes it can feel like you're not doing enough for your career and for your other family members. So then your relationships started to fade, and it can be harmed. And you feel guilty because you do resent your other family members. And then, again, you feel guilty about feeling that way.
Yeah.
So perhaps you've now another friend that seemed to be a superhero in caregiving, and now you feel you don't measure up.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing is chronic stress that is bad for your health. You know, according to the Mayo Clinic, some stress is good for us, but when a person constantly are bombarded with stresses and that don't go away, the fight or flight reaction in the body never stops. And that leads to too much cortisol being pumped through the body, as any doctor will tell you. And that can disrupt all the systems in your body.
Mm.
And your risk increases for anxiety, depression, headaches, muscle pain, digestive problems, sleep issues, weight gain, heart disease, and many more. So, and then you find yourself becoming ill, and that plays another burden on your relationships.
Yeah.
And then another thing that we didn't discuss already is caring for aging parents can test even the strongest marriage. Whether the parents lives with you or 2,000 kilometers away, there can be resentment, jealousy, or just not being on the same page with your husband or your wife. So it's so important that while you're caring for the elderly parent, that you focus on the marriage and put that relationship first. And know what your own boundaries are, what you can and cannot accept in that kind of situation. Support each other mutually and figure out how to relieve stress. Get respite care. Again, we've talked about that in the beginning. So respite care, again, is, as we mentioned, a caregiver that can help on a short-term basis. And sometimes it does require some professional counseling or going to someone, and it may be good to share all these issues with a third party and sort it out.
Yeah. My second question, I often heard some of my friends said their aging parents or siblings don't agree with them when they had to take care of them. So what are the most common situations that you find in relation to disagreement?
So yeah, when there is conflict in a relationship, like a business or consumer relationship, you resolve it, you go your way, and you never see each other again because it's a choice you make.
Yeah.
But when it's conflict related to a family relationship or a long-term friendship, those relationships have a lot of history and baggage. So it makes it more difficult to move forward and find ways to work for everyone. So when we're trying to help our aging parents, it's likely some sort of conflict is going to arise. Because, again, you're not working with a robot.
Yeah.
And not just press a button. There are so many emotions and family dynamics involved. So, and also in today's world, you know, conflicts like these often lead to legal disputes, which can damage family relationships, and it can get very expensive. It often has to do with issues relating to the care, well-being, or the property of a senior. So you can have adult siblings. We normally, that's one of the most issues that I found, arguing about what is the best care for mom and dad. Another example is an adult child wanting dad to stop driving.
Yeah.
Take away the keys. But that's also not so easy.
No.
Siblings can disagree on the kind of care their parents need, or the siblings arguing with the elder about what's appropriate and what's safe. At the end, everybody is worried about money.
Yeah.
Money is a big issue. And then you can also have families in arguments with other kinds of providers, like doctors or facilities where the senior lives. An older mom or dad, or maybe both, say, I don't want to get out of my house. I don't want to leave this house. I'm not going into independent living or assisted living or any other place.
Yeah.
So they can get so stubborn. And what do I do because my parent is so narcissistic? And it's hard to deal with. That's another issue. You get the narcissistic parent as well.
Yeah.
Some family members have always been absent, while others might be the child or the overachiever wanting to take control. All these long-standing family dynamics and histories come out during conflict.
Yes.
And what I also see or saw in the past, you know, some of those, when you sit around the table, some of those issues came a long way. It actually came from childhood.
Yeah.
And because in that stage, you don't sit around the table and sort out that kind of things. You have an argument or a fight, and you just go on.
Yeah.
So it's never been resolved. And when you come now in this situation that you have to care for a parent,
all
those kind of issues came out.
Yeah. My third question, what solution or solutions are there for these problems?
So when you are on the same page, as I now say, it makes helping your parents, the help you give them, it makes it a lot easier for you and for everyone else. But how do you handle it when the siblings disagree? They're still your siblings at the end of the day. And when one decides, okay, well, I'm out because I don't like what you're doing, that creates a lot of challenges and long-term effects. Mm. Because there's always the one that say, okay, you've got it, I'm out. Or I have my own family and my own problems, I cannot deal with it. So it leaves one with maybe with all these issues to sort out. So I think try to figure out everyone's role and find solutions that make each family member feel heard, appreciated, and thanked.
Yeah,
will be a solution.
Yeah.
So everyone should feel like they're contributing, valued, and heard. And there's no room for my way or the highway in this situation. But as I say, in this
it doesn't always happen like that.
No. So that approach is very disruptive, and it doesn't help if someone say, okay, you've got it, you go on. Mm. Some people use their power to get their way again, leaving a wake of unhappiness and destruction, while others set aside their needs to allow others to get what they want.
Mm.
There are all the extremes and the variations in the middle. A lot of times there is grief and guilt and, as I mentioned, inferiority that are at work. It's a lot of old issues coming now up.
Yes.
And the sibling who lives far away isn't involved in the day-to-day caring. That's what we also discussed. And it doesn't see the decline in the parents. So they feel left out. From the start, they come for a visit, don't understand the complete situation, and then they start doing things without consulting the other siblings or even the parent. A good place then to start is to plan a family meeting. Every family has different dynamics, so each situation will be different.
Yeah.
And as I've already mentioned, even though they're not participating, send them an email.
Yeah.
Keep them informed about every step. You might consider mediation, hiring an attorney, or even other legal action. But the first thing you should do is talk.
Yeah.
Communicate, talk about all the issues, ask others what issues they need covered. Follow up with monthly meetings or conference calls. We do have technology now.
Yes.
The key is communication with no secrets. Don't hide anything. Don't do something and hide it from the others. Share as much as is useful. In the family members, if they can't resolve the conflict, it's hard because you are part of the conflict. Sometimes you can turn to someone who understands conflict resolution and the interest of people, like a pastor or someone else. But if that doesn't work, you have to hire a mediator or another peacemaker. Unfortunately, many people turn to the legal system, as I said, and that can be very extreme and exhausting and expensive.
Yeah.
So bringing in a family friend might carry history, so that's not a good solution, I think. Remember the word compromise. I think that's a big word in this situation. We all have to give a little bit to make this thing work. The first step is talking through it and seeking to understand why they feel so strong about their position.
Yeah.
It may not be exactly the reasons you think. So because we all come to the table with our own mindset, you think they do this or this, and that may be not the case. So when we talk about having conversations, everyone to take turns to listen and restate what they heard to be ensure they got it right.
Yeah.
Did you hear correct what the other person said? So that's a key point, because often what we hear due to emotions is not what they say or said or intended. So when caring for a parent with narcissism behavior, as we've mentioned, because that's a difficult thing to handle. The most important thing is to not to take things personally, because it isn't personal. It's about them and not about you. That's one of the hardest things to get your mind around, because it sure feels personal. They say things in a hard way.
Yeah.
And they want to hurt you.
Yes.
But you must have clear, firm boundaries. If you need to say something like, when you talk to me, to set your boundaries.
Yeah.
These are and how they're going to communicate those. There's a term that's used in dealing with narcissists called gray rocking. And that really means not having any kind of emotional reaction to what a narcissist does or says. Because if you do react, that's what's called narcissistic supply.
Yeah.
They want you to react because they feed on that. So when you don't react, it loses its power.
It's holiday time and you finally get a chance to take a break from your daily or weekly caregiving for mum and or dad. But how do you make sure your aging parent is taken care of while you're away? How easy is it to let someone else take care of them? Who do you look for? What needs to be done?
So, yeah, the summer vacation is always a fun time.
Yeah.
Of the year.
Yeah.
Except for when you have things on your mind.
Yes.
If you are in a situation where your parents or your aging parents may live with you, or you are with them a lot and taking a big part in their care, it may be hard to think about being able to get away.
Yeah.
Because you have that emotional thing attached to it, even though you have all the care in the world, but in your mind, you don't feel good. So families need to decide what type of care they need. Sometimes they can use care from a family member to pop in and out and check on mom or dad if they are still actually on their own, to fill up medication planners or something like that. They might not need full-time care maybe, or the purpose of a vacation is a vacation. Having backups in place helps a lot better.
Yeah.
Respite care is offered by some agencies and assisted living facilities currently in South Africa. Overseas, there are a lot more care facilities that offer help. So I recommend contacting them a few months ahead of time, not days, because there aren't so much. You could also bring your parent to another family's member house or have family members come into their home. If people have memory issues, it may be easier to have someone come to their home versus having them to travel.
Yeah.
And then lastly, Michelle, I think, and I hope that will help the listeners a bit, and I think that brings us to the end of this year's free mini caregiving course, our Caregiving 101.
Yeah.
And I want to use this opportunity to wish all the listeners, and especially the family caregivers, a wonderful, blessed Christmas. And I hope they get a bit of rest. And I trust that somewhere, someone found something informative to help them during this time. Until we meet again in January, I want them all to be safe. And the most important thing is love your family, and most of all, love and appreciate yourself.
Bye bye, dankie Dr. Marion Cronje. En ons sê vir jou ook hier van Casey, radiostasie van my, die luisteraars, jy moet ook 'n baie geseënde Kersfees hê en gaan. Ons hoop jy kan ook 'n bietjie gaan rus.
Baie baie dankie.
Ek weet jy's baie baie besig. En ja, en alles wat mooi is vir jou en jou familie ook, met gesondheid. En soos jy sê, veral nou oor die feesgety ook, dis familietyd. Koester daai geleentheid wat jy nog het.
Dis
as jy 'n ma en 'n pa het wat gesond is en saam met jou aan 'n kerstafel kan sit. Dit is so 'n voorreg.
Dit is en goed gebeur so vinnig.
Ja.
Ons is regtig soos grassade in die wind.
Absoluut.
Ons is vandag hier en môre nie meer. So ja, koester ja. elke geleentheid wat jy kan en herbou gebroke verhoudings.
Ja, hierdie hele die kampanje wat jy met ons kom praat het, dit leer mense net weer daai dankbaarheid en soos jy ook sê, dis is meer as net soos met die caregiving. Jy is verhoudings wat gebou moet word. Jy moet leer om soos daai dinge put it apart, sit dit een kant toe. Ek en jy wat 'n bietjie issue met mekaar het, maar ons het nou 'n ma of 'n pa wat siek is en ons moet nou saam hom of haar hier deur kry. Ons moet nou saam staan en nie voor daai persoon beklei en te kere gaan nie. So mens leer so baie hier uit. So dankie elke week wat jy was, het jy vir my net so baie geleer. Want ek kan vereenselwig met alles wat jy gesê het en ek is seker elkeen daar buite kon vereenselwig met 'n storie wat jy gebring het op 'n donderdag, beteken ons was een keer 'n Woensdag. Ons was al so gewoond met jou op 'n donderdag hier. So almal kon relate met dit en ons kon leer daaruit. Absoluut. So baie baie dankie.
Dis 'n groot plesier.
Jy moet 'n mooi dag hê en ek speel vir jou Tracy Chapman.
Tracy at work on Casey 107.7.